My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, Eddie says we're good to go, so we go. Al is out. He is back on vacation after his short stint in at Florham Park yesterday. So Edward Scazzeri is with me. What's up, Eddie?
Hello, podcast people.
Nice to see you as always.
Thank you.
The Malaysian Airlines incident came up today on the show.
Yes, it did.
Because of yesterday with Al and Aaron Rodgers and whoever that guy is who looks into it.
I don't know.
Nor do I. And I'm not even honestly interested in conspiracy theories and stuff of that nature for the most part. But it had me thinking as I was listening to the conversation, and I guess Al and I have discussed this in the past as well, to some degree, when we talk about whether it's aliens or, you know, past universes and lives and times and whatever. Do you think now the Malaysian airline thing is clearly interesting? I'm not saying it's not by any stretch, but there have been parts of wreckage that have been found, so it's not like it's this complete disappearance. In general, do you think that people that get into conspiracy theories are into it because it's just interesting, because they believe it, or because they're just so cynical on everything that we are told, taught, or presented by government that we just don't trust anybody about anything?
I think it is a combination of all three of those elements. I will say that I think the people who really go off the deep end, I think there's some underlying psychological problem at work there. So, because they will hold to those theories even in the face of direct good evidence against it.
Right.
And will then just go further and further and say, well, that's a lie also, and that's a conspiracy. So I think there's a certain percentage of the people who are deep into it have some underlying psychological issues.
I always wonder how much Hollywood plays a role in a lot of things, whether it is, now I know there are, you know, there are findings from history from hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, where people believe they saw things that look like aliens. And I'm, again, I'm not a doubter. I'm not saying they're out there. I don't know if they are or they're not. But I'm not one that believes it either until I see it. But I also think it could be true. What the hell do I know what's going on universes away? No idea. How much of a role do you think our creativity and our, you know, what we learn as we grow up from what we see on the screen plays into what we think could be real?
It goes right along with it. It's the major factor. If you want to look at just if you want to go back to antiquity, the stories that the legends.
All right, slow down, because a lot of people don't know what you just said, including me. What's antiquity?
Okay, early times.
Okay.
You know, when civilization first started, we started writing down things and had agriculture in towns and cities and all that. The legends that grew up to explain the world, you know, they took root, like creation myths. And, you know, that there are many variations of the flood myth from, you know, Noah's Ark and that whole thing. Many different civilizations have very similar stories to that Noah's flood story in the Bible. And I'm going to piss some people off, but the Bible itself is a great conspiracy theory that a lot of people believe, people who believe in God. The Judeo or Abrahamic religions, the Christians, the Jews, the people who follow Islam, you know, those Abrahamic religions, they all believe this story for which there really is no proof for.
Right.
So, yeah, it's deeply seated in our nature to have these stories and to have them influence us. And you just saw that movie that was just released, I forget the name of it, with Scarlett Johansson about faking the moon landing.
Okay, I didn't see it.
But that was, I think it might still be out. I don't
know.
Yeah. And so that's a conspiracy theory. We didn't really land on the moon. That's been around for decades.
Yeah.
Almost as soon as we did it. And now you have a Hollywood production saying that, yeah, that whole thing was faked. And back in the late 70s, Law and Order, Sam Waterston.
Yeah, Sam Waterston.
And O.J. Simpson and another actor I forget were in this movie called Capricorn One, which is a similar theme, but it was a faked Mars landing, I believe.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so, yeah, sure, absolutely. The Hollywood goes right along with, and other stories,
yeah,
novels, this and that, go right along with people, what people are thinking and what they're influenced by.
I'm always amazed by people's lack of involvement. Well, I guess level of involvement, lack of involvement, level of interest, lack of interest in terms of what's going on in their lives and when is that an excuse. So, for instance, I mean, I've been doing this podcast with Al for, 9 years now? I've done the warm-up show with him a long time. I've known him since 2007, I suppose. And he has changed. There's no question from the time I met him to the time he is, to the person he is now. He's not even remotely close to the same person I met. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Right.
You know, there are certain things I love about him, certain things I don't. I'm sure he would say the same about me. I marvel at his health and fitness and the way he eats compared to when I first met him, when he would eat a whole bag of potato chips with a sandwich.
Yeah.
His interest in things, though, it's amazing how different we are that he will spend so much time on something like this. And then someone like myself, I'm so wrapped up with my kids and my family. It's the further, like, I don't even know what he's talking about half the time. And then you bring it back into, let's say, the real world, because conspiracies might be the real world. They might not be. We don't know. That's why they're theories. Then you bring it back to, like, what's happening on a day-to-day basis in society. And again, he gets wrapped up in his stuff in his town. I don't, because I'm wrapped up in baseball and school and playing golf and work. It's just amazing how certain people are drawn to certain things and others aren't. And then right in the middle, you get the people that want to serve the public and actually do something that I think when they start and get into it, they're doing it for the right reasons and wind up doing a lot of wrong things because of crap that's out there. It's just, I don't know, the way people are, the way we are raised, the way we learn to do things, our interests are all different. It's amazing how we make up society and we're so incredibly different at everything.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's kind of the spice of life.
It is, but like there are times I sit there and feel guilty that I am not more into politics. Like when I sit there and I try and bring them, if I'm co-hosting, like I brought up the toll thing the other day, just because I saw the story in the Post. When I tell you, when I preface something by saying, I don't care what you think politically, I couldn't mean that anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't give a crap if you're a Democrat, a Republican, a hardcore Democrat. I don't care. I'm just trying to have a conversation about tolls in that instance.
Right.
I mean that from the bottom of my heart because I'm not a political person. And yet you run into people that are so hell-bent on it. And I guess it's a good thing because we do need people that are in politics, obviously. Mm-hmm. It just, I sit there and think, what's wrong with me? Like, why do I not care as much as everybody else?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, I pay attention, but not deeply. I'm not on social media. So that whole level of
sure
involvement / nonsense, I'm out of all these debates that people like... The boxer in the Olympics, that was a big topic.
Yep.
I was aware of it, but like, did I go and, you know, scroll through Twitter and look to see who was saying what? No, I don't care.
Right.
I do not care. Should I care? I don't know. I don't think I need to. I vote every election. I try to learn about, for my local candidates, what they're about before I go, so I have a somewhat of an informed decision when I cast the vote. But I probably should pay more attention, but it does not interest me.
And that's my problem too, is that I'm not interested in politics mm-hmm. and all the bull crap that's associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to one thing you said about the Bible and the stories and all that. So growing up for me, I grew up Catholic. Went to church with my parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, if not every Sunday, almost every Sunday mm-hmm. growing up, went to Catholic school. I don't think I realized there were other religions until I was probably 9 or 10. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just the way I grew up and what I knew, maybe a little younger. That to me is a problem from the standpoint too of if everybody's religion is the right one, then you have none.
Correct. That's Arthur C. Clarke in Childhood's End, which is a, you know, classic science fiction novel. You know, we have an alien that comes to Earth and, you know, they have a lot of answers to things we have mm-hmm. questions about. And one of his lines from the book is, all the world's religions can't be right.
Yes.
And like you said, therefore, none of them are.
Right.
There's 45,000 variations of Christianity on the planet.
Is that true?
Yeah, approximately.
Wow.
And over 200 in this country, but worldwide. I mean, so what are we talking about?
I don't know.
Everybody's a la carte. I mean, please.
Well, that is very true, and that's become more and more as time has gone on.
Right, so well, then what the hell does it all mean?
Yeah, I know when we were kids, and really... Yeah, when we were kids, and then even hearing the stories from my parents, like it used to be you would get dressed up and church was, you went every mm-hmm. Sunday.
I was forced to go.
Yeah, we were too. And I remember my dad telling me at some point you'll make your own decisions. And, you know, and well, we've made our decisions and it is what it is. I've always told you I like the teachings of the Catholic Church.
Sure.
I think even the schools we've picked our kids to go to wasn't necessarily because of that. But I like the schools. And again, I think the teachings are good. But the other stuff, I scratch my head. You know, and as I've gotten older, in wonderment of what is everything about?
Yeah, the message of Christ, peace, love, and understanding,
right.
Basically, was like the first hippie, even had sandals.
That's
but,
right.
You know, but the actual, besides that, I mean, it's a great message for society to peace, love, and understanding. But all the other stuff, I mean, and you said when you became aware of other religions, I became aware in first grade when I was learning the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my mother, which I didn't really know until I came home, is a Methodist, not a Catholic. So my dad, first of all, she wasn't Italian and she wasn't Catholic. So he was a rule breaker, mold breaker, you know, in his family.
Okay.
So I'm learning the Ten Commandments. The nuns are going around and teaching us. And one of the commandments, must keep holy the Lord's day, you know, meaning go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, it's a mortal sin. If you break one of the Ten Commandments, mortal sin, as opposed to a venial sin for other lesser transgressions. And if you die, according to the Catholic Church, with a mortal sin on your soul and you're not repentant, you go to hell. Okay. So I came home and said to my dad, I didn't want to go to church anymore. And he said, why? And I said, because I want to go to hell with mommy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, because she is Methodist, didn't go to church with
Wow.
us. And didn't go to any church. So yeah. I don't know if there was a Methodist church around, whatever. And she didn't grow up that religious. And he was like, well, that's different. Mommy has a different. And right there.
It the clicked in your head.
The bullshit meter was like, what? What is, well, what? And so that's really when the whole doubting of religion started for me, was first grade.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
That is very, I don't know when it started for me, to be quite honest. I don't have a moment like that. I think it was just gradual over time. But wow, that is.
Yeah, that was pretty powerful for me as a kid. Like, oh, my mother's, you know, going to go to hell.
Yeah. So, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. So that
and
was
pretty hurtful.
Yeah.
Think that.
And then he's like, well, you know, but, you know, if you really follow the religion.
Here's where I tell you when I started. And you know what? I actually do know. When I started doubting everything that I was taught. And that was when we had friends who were Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I, at the time as a kid, I didn't realize being Jewish was a different religion. They were our friends. I had no idea. I was 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there. And I remember my friend's name was Donnie. Ted and Ellen were his parents' names. I remember that because we kind of grew up with them until we were like mid-teens. And then we kind of went our separate ways. And I remember being at the dinner table for some Jewish holiday and their grandparents had the numbers on their wrist and didn't know what it was and just innocently asked what the tattoo was about. And I got a life lesson on the concentration camps. And I remember asking my mom, wow, my God, talk about sparking up thoughts and memories. I remember asking my mom why God would let something like that happen.
Right.
Damn, I'm getting chills right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and then I remember the next question I asked her was, what is the point of life then?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the answer she gave me was, to make it better for your kids. I'm like, you know, and I've lived with that ever since.
Sure.
I've lived with that ever since.
Right. That, and that's another thing about that, where the logic breaks down. If he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving.
How does that happen?
You know, kids dying of cancer, rape.
Yeah, no, murder, I know.
You know, the whole thing. It's like, what?
Wow, man, so, I got chills from that.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, that's a little too serious. Lastly, what does, what does the end of summer look like for Eddie Scazzeri? So you're here this week.
Yes.
Are you here next week?
Yes, we're all here.
Okay.
The five of us, except for you on Monday, because you have your golf tournament.
Right.
Then that last week, now most years, that last week, my wife is gearing up for the New Jersey Fiber Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff that, you know, preparations to have enough product to put out for an event, the whole thing. So most years, that's a lot of the week is helping her prepare for that, packaging yarn, that whole thing. And we'll maybe do like one or two little, you know, go out for a little hike or this or that. Now, this year, because I always assumed that the festival was the Saturday after Labor Day.
Right.
But it is not. It is the second Saturday of September.
The 14th?
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you know, the September 1st is a Monday. That's why I was like, wow, I thought we were, you know, it was going to be the week earlier, but it is not.
Yeah.
So therefore, we have some extra time. So maybe we're not going to go anywhere, but we'll maybe do some more, you know, hiking and drive further. We like to go up to an area called Crater Lake in the Delaware National Recreation Area.
Okay.
Delaware Water Gap up in northwestern New Jersey. Maybe go some other things that are a little further. And, you know, this might be our oldest dog, Quail. She's 15, God bless her. And she really can't do full hikes. But, you know, we can go to this lake and she can splash around, you know, because it could be her last run at it.
Yeah, I know. Sad.
It's terrible. But, you know, again, life.
So you'll be off and away a little bit to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And how much time does your wife put into the business?
Oh, gosh.
Would you say it's a 40-hour a week?
Sometimes more.
More.
But, and also during, like, as we were leading up to, like, you know, I guess 2018, 2019, 2020, you know, it was getting more and more. And, like, and at one point I said, hey, you know, be careful. This is going to turn into a full-time job.
Yeah, like a bit, oh, it's hers. You know,
so, and it really has.
Yeah.
Now, during pandemic, you know, there was nothing to do anyway. The yarn business just like exploded.
Yeah.
She did very well. And now there has been a downturn.
Yeah.
In the business, you know, and not just her, but all the independent dyers have noticed the same thing. And I think a lot of people during the pandemic decided to become independent yarn right. dyers. So there's more competition and everything. And she's actually been thinking, you know, how much longer she wants to do it after, you know, maybe another couple of years only. And then
you guys retire together.
Yeah. And this is her last year of festivals.
Oh, okay.
Also.
Okay.
You know, because that's like
a big job.
It is.
A lot
and
of work.
It's, yeah. And, you know, we have a transit van because of that.
Wow.
We bought that. And we were, ideally, we would have gotten a lot more use out of it. But we were planning on driving to Chicago in 2020 for a Midwestern yarn festival. I was going to take off, go with her. Hmm. But then, of course, pandemic.
Interesting.
And a lot of that. And some of those, the companies, I guess, that organize these national yarn festivals, one of the major ones did not survive the pandemic.
Wow.
So that whole
pandemic screwed up a lot, man.
Yeah, it did.
It screwed up a lot.
That one kind of, because they had put in the money and then had no way to recoup it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people who bought booths at the events had to pay them back, and they collapsed.
It's amazing how you always talk about when you take a, you know, something happens and they'll say, well, it's going to take a few years to recover. And I'm always like, come on, that's not really true. I'll tell you, the pandemic is, for me, because we took our pay cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Also, other things got cut out of my month-to-month budget for sure. A lot of money disappeared during the pandemic. And it was probably like 8-9 months before financially things got back to normal. But boy, I took a bath because the expenses don't go away.
No, they don't.
And yet that's why I think I get so, and I don't mean to argue with Boomer about it. I'm at the point, I'm so disgusted by the pro athlete that I hate sitting by when we're talking about how much teams are worth and owners make. And I think, I understand they're worth a lot. I get it. But I look at a company like Odyssey that very well could have gone out of business during the pandemic.
Yes.
And they maintained employment for us and our benefits and vacation time to where we weren't kicked out of our houses and we didn't go into bankruptcy. And it would have been very easy for them to say, listen, we're going to keep 15% of the staff, the other 85%. We have no money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very grateful. And that's why, whether it's an NFL team or an NBA, a baseball team, like, we know, I was talking to one guy from the Jets yesterday. I said, you know, if I had to ask you, what does it cost to run this franchise? And he says, you have no idea. And he's like, he just started laying out the stuff. He goes, let's just go to day-to-day operations. Let's talk about the part-time employees, the full-time employees, what medical insurance costs for an enormous amount of people, what the flights cost for road trips, for the hotels, for the support staff. He starts listing things. And the expenditures are incredibly high. Yes, they're worth a lot. I know Woody Johnson, that's a different argument of Johnson. But just taking a random NFL owner, not the Jerry Joneses or the Woody Johnsons, and I know they're worth a lot. They are responsible for so many people's lives. And you've got the athletes who, yes, they are risking their health to play. But there's a simple answer to that too. Don't. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to and you don't want to try and make $50 million a year, be like us and work for a living.
Right.
And it just, it annoys, because they make so much money and they're just, this whole, like, they sign a contract, that guy's making more, I want what he gets.
Yeah.
Well, what was wrong with the contract you signed? And then the argument, well, these contracts aren't guaranteed. All right, 15 years ago, maybe. But now most of them are with the signing bonuses and the guaranteed money. I'm just, if I didn't do this anymore, and I mean this, I don't know how much I'd watch anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just so, like, turned off by it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's it's interesting, but I don't know why I got off on that tangent where we were at.
All right.
But
yes,
it was. It's interesting. Oh, that's just the pandemic and right the yarn business and like everybody else.
Right. And speaking of Odyssey, now it like there were some.
I know there were.
But
I know.
The majority of
they
the employees,
saved a lot of work and right, a lot of employees.
Did. Now and in terms of the effects of it, there are, you know, for yourself, there were certain cutbacks that affected you. That
oh, yeah.
You are.
I'm still feeling the effects.
To do your job, you have to do more.
Absolutely.
And also,
and you.
During the pandemic, I started doing like three other jobs. Some of it went away, but a lot of it
you're still do.
There, yeah. And it's going to be there.
It's like you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Correct.
You know, that's what I say in a boomer. I don't care who wins the election in November. If a bar right now can get $24 for a Casamigos on the rocks,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to say, well, Trump won, we'll charge $10.
No.
That it might not go up anymore for a little while, but it's still going to be $24 for a glass of tequila. I mean,
right.
it's nuts mm-hmm. what's gone on.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, this was all over the map.
Okay, yes, it was.
This was good. What's tomorrow, Thursday?
Tomorrow is Thursday. Yes.
All right, warm-up show coming up next with myself, very sportsy.
And just alternates I suspended tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Did not know that.
As it was Tuesday.
Right. Did not know that. All right, cool. Very good. Right. Fliegelman was with me for one segment today. We had a caller from, I think, a long-lost relative. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of Mets and Yankees. And then Eddie will do this again with me tomorrow. Warm-up show at 5, and then you do the adios thing.
See ya!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.